and she had an absolute meltdown when she didn't get her way. For the longest time, she wasn't part of the discussion when it came to the new well. We were going to go small and unobtrusive because the town is a tourist trap on its own. But Mrs. Little came barreling in toward the end of the process and said she would pay for it if she could have a say in the design. Landon lazily moved his hands up and down my back. I can't help but be suspicious about why she suddenly wanted to sponsor the wishing well. Perhaps that's my cynical side showing, but she's up to something. Hey, you don't suppose whatever Aunt Tilly's up to has anything to do with what Margaret Little is planning, do you?
That was an interesting thought. I hadn't really considered it, but I'm not sure how the two could be linked. I know exactly what Mrs. Little is up to. I've seen that surprise with my own eyes.
There's a surprise?
Landon leaned back far enough that I could see the gleam in his eyes.
It's not bacon, is it?
The bacon stuff is getting a little old.
Bacon never gets old, baby, but I'll give it a rest for the day because you're cranky.
Landon was all smooth charm and wide smiles.
If I didn't know better, I'd think you didn't sleep well last night.
I slept fine. It was the dreams that made it so it wasn't a restful sleep. Landon stilled, his eyes darkening.
Did you have nightmares? Why didn't you wake me?
I didn't have nightmares, I replied, his tone grating on my frozen nerves. I had dreams about hundreds of flying people attacking Aunt Tilly's field and using her squirt gun full of hemp water to bring them down. In fact, I had several dreams about people flying over that field. Landon barked out a laugh, his shoulders shaking as the visual washed over him.
Okay, that's not funny, but it's freaking funny.
But it doesn't count as a nightmare.
No, it doesn't, but you still should have woken me up.
Landon tucked a stray of flyaway blonde hair beneath my knit cap.
You could have woken me up to console you, even if it wasn't a full-blown nightmare.
I couldn't wake you up to show you the guy flowing over the field, I reminded him. How could I wake you up for a non-nightmare?
I see your point.
Despite his jovial attitude, I could tell Landon wasn't happy about me bringing up the flying figure with so many people around.
You might not want to mention that you saw someone flying over your property when the wrong people might overhear you. They're bound to think you're crazy or something.
All traces of my good mood fled. Does that worry you, what people might think about me, I mean?
Landon could sense a trap with the best of them. Don't go there, he warned, keeping his voice low and refusing to release me, even when I moved to slip out of his embrace. We're not turning this into a fight. I was teasing you.
It's not funny, though, I pressed. I saw it. I'm not making it up.
Sweetie, I know you're not making it up.
Landon looked pained.
I honestly think you fell asleep, even though you didn't realize it was happening. You were dreaming about being awake, and it simply got away from you.
That's not what happened. Landon heaved out a frustrated sigh as he tilted his head to the side.
Okay, I'm going to approach this as I would any other flying human being story that landed on my desk. What exactly did you see?
I saw something moving on the other side of the window, so I got out of bed to see what it was, I answered, refusing to back down. I thought it was a bush, or maybe a piece of fabric that got caught on one of the trees. It was a person flying in the air over the pot field.
Shh! Landon looked like an epileptic chicken when he jerked his head from side to side to make sure no one was listening. Don't say the P word.
Pork?
Don't push me, Bay. I'm trying to help.
I know you are, but you're not helping, so can we just let it go? I believe I was telling you about the wishing well and why it's going to be Mrs. Little's show today. Let's get back to that.
No, we're not going back to that just yet, Landon fired back. I want to hear that information, but we're not quite there yet. I want to know what you saw through the window last night. You're clearly not going to let me rest until we figure it out.
He had a point. I saw a man flying over the field, I said. I didn't imagine it. He was there, circling.
Circling the field?
I nodded.
Are you sure it wasn't a bird?
It was too big to be a bird. My patience quickly eroded as I slapped my hands on Landon's thighs to emphasize my point. I know the difference between a man and a bird.
Really? Which is Big Bird?
I didn't want to laugh. I was angry, I told myself. He didn't believe me and was getting off on torturing me. I couldn't help myself. I belted out a hearty chuckle as I buried my face in the hollow between his neck and shoulder. I swear I saw it.
I know you did. Landon pressed me as close to his chest as he could manage.
Can Aunt Tilly fly?
I know you said it was a man, but half her clothing comes from the Army surplus store, so it's entirely possible it was her.
That was a rational question. I searched my memory for a definitive answer. It wasn't Aunt Tilly. The body was too tall.
Okay, well, was it a ghost?
Landon kept his voice low. He was well aware of my witchy ability. I can see and talk to ghosts. But he guarded my secret to the best of his ability.
Huh. I hadn't considered that possibility.
I don't think so, but...
You can't rule it out. Landon finished.
I nodded. I honestly don't see how a ghost could cause a shadow like that.
Maybe you didn't really see a shadow, Landon suggested. Maybe you heard the ghost in your head, or sensed it was close, and you went to the window because something inside of you urged you to do it?
It was an intriguing question. I don't think it was a ghost, Landon.
The only other option was that a man really was flying over the property in the middle of November. How likely do you think that scenario is?
I don't know. I felt lost, bitter, maybe a little disappointed in myself. The realization caused me to shake my head and take a step back. It doesn't matter. You're right. I probably fell asleep and imagined it. Landon pursed his lips as he regarded me.
Bay, you don't usually freak out about nothing. You don't generally imagine things that aren't there. On the flip side, you did drink a lot last night.
He wasn't wrong, yet I couldn't help but be a little defensive.
So did you.
Yeah, and I passed out like a rock. Landon slid his fingers through my belt loops and tugged me back to the spot I had occupied a few moments before.
Bay, if someone really was flying around your property last night, how is that even possible?
I don't know. Maybe someone got bit by a radioactive spider. Maybe that's what Aunt Tilly had in the back.
Landon snorted as he shook his head, genuinely amused. I love you so much, it hurts sometimes.
He pressed a soft kiss to my lips.
Spider-Man doesn't fly, though. He swings from web to web. And it only works in cities with tall skyscrapers, so it gives the illusion of flying.
Ugh, you're a comic book geek. How did I not know this? I'm mortified.
Landon's smile slipped. You're a Trekkie. I wouldn't talk.
I am not a Trekkie.
Can you do the Vulcan salute?
Oh, I'm not answering that. So, back to Mrs. Little. She bought a huge plaque touting herself as the owner of the Wishing Well and advertising her store. Can you believe that?
Yes, it's totally tacky,
Landon said, wrinkling his nose.
I plan to be appropriately catty when they unveil it. I'll even trade whispered insults with you while you're taking notes. Go back to the Vulcan salute thing, though. Can you do that with your fingers?
I silently met his gaze for what felt like forever. I might be able to do that.
Let me see.
I narrowed my eyes. You're going to make fun of me.
Let me see, Landon prodded, refusing to back down. I'll run and get the next round of hot chocolate, if you do.
I blew out a weary sigh, but lifted my hands, pressing the middle digit of each finger to the forefinger and the ring finger to the pinky, creating two Vs.
You can do it with both hands. Landon was delighted. I'm so turned on right now.
I thought you were appalled when you thought I was a Trekkie, I challenged.
That was before I pictured you in one of those role-playing outfits, Landon replied. I'm totally ordering one of them, by the way. I'm going to make you serve as my communications expert.
And then what?
Landon's lips curved. Then we'll boldly go where...
Landon didn't get a chance to finish his filthy double entendre because Mrs. Little picked that moment to swoop in and interrupt us.
Bay, we really need to get going. It's cold out, and I want to make sure my hair looks good for the photographs. If snow starts falling, it'll melt on my hair and then freeze. Nobody wants that.
I exhaled heavily as I regained my faculties and patted Landon's shoulder as he scowled in Mrs. Little's direction. I'm ready when you are.
Let's do it now.
Sure, I can't wait. I've been looking forward to this all day. I flashed Landon a resigned smile before gathering my notebook from the picnic table. Landon grabbed my wrist before I could wander too far away.
If I had a phaser, this is where I would totally stun her,
he offered, causing me to grin. I could always try the Vulcan neck pinch on her.
Oh, that's my little geek. He playfully swatted my rear end. Hurry this along, because I have some positively marvelous ideas for reenacting the trouble with tribbles. By the way, you're the trouble.
And he says, I'm the geek.
I don't know what to wish for. Everything that pops in my head is mean, and I promised I would never grow up to be you, so I have no idea what to do with this new development.
Clove, 16, explaining to Aunt Tilly why she can't think of anything to wish for.
5.
Mrs. Little was born to be the center of attention. She took her spot in front of the wishing well, launched into a speech even I couldn't follow despite the fact that I was there to do just that, and then yanked the plastic tarp off the newly constructed downtown landmark with a flourish that would have made Las Vegas performers jealous. The crowd gathered to see the unveiling was small, so only a few people supplied the appropriate gasps, and I was fairly certain Landon was one of those individuals, and he was only making noise because he burned his tongue on his hot chocolate. By the time Mrs. Little wrapped things up, which was 15 minutes after a normal person would have stopped talking, the crowd was seriously losing interest. I took advantage of the situation and grabbed two women in rapid succession to gather quotes, tamping down my irritation when they both admitted they followed the smell of donuts, and then found Landon sitting exactly where I left him. I'm done. Kind of.
What's kind of mean?
Landon grabbed his tongue with his fingers and tried to stare down his nose and get a gander at it.
I burned my tongue, by the way. It hurts.
I press my lips together to keep from laughing. I'll kiss it and make it better later.
I was thinking ice cream.
You're gonna fall into a sugar coma if you're not careful, I warned. You've had so much food this morning that I'm gonna have to let out your pants before you leave for work Monday.
You can sew?
Landon was understandably dubious. I wasn't known for my homemaking skills.
I can shop online.
Landon snorted. Duly noted. I was hoping to work off the extra calories when we got home and into our pajamas.
Well, I don't see why we can't leave now, I offered.
The article will be dull, but it will be the most boring thing in next week's edition anyway, so I'm not overly broken up about it.
Landon ceased messing with his tongue and fixed me with a serious expression.
If you're going to change your mind and insist we come back down here in an hour, I'm going to be very upset.
I won't.
I was almost positive that was true.
Landon didn't look convinced.
Well, what did you want that you didn't get?
Color quotes.
I saw you questioning two women as soon as Mrs. Little stopped talking. And that was freaking painful, honey. So you'll have to rub the crap out of me later to make up for it. Didn't they give you color quotes?
They came for the free hot chocolate.
Landon snorted. I can't blame them. The hot chocolate is downright tasty.
Yes, you're practically buzzing from all the sugar. How many donuts did you eat?
One. I'm not a glutton.
I arched a challenging eyebrow.
Really? Fine. 3. They had sprinkles, though. You know how I feel about sprinkles.
You love them almost as much as bacon, I filled in. You've told me on numerous occasions.
I love you more than both of them.
He was feeling cute and frisky, which I didn't want to dissuade. Duly noted.
That's why I don't want you to leave until you have your quotes, Landon announced, topping off the table. I want you to get everything you need so we don't have to worry about leaving the guest house. I'm not joking about having a pajama day. I'm willing to forego bacon at the inn tomorrow morning to do it.
Oh, you're definitely serious. I rested my gloved hand on top of his. Okay, I just need 2 quotes. I'm chilled to the bone thanks to the world's longest speech, but you're right. If I get the quotes now, we can spend the rest of the day getting warm.
Yes, I'm thinking a bath, a big fire, and more hot chocolate.
You're having tea, I corrected. No sugar or honey either. You can have lemon, and that's it.
You're being awfully bossy.
Landon's eyes lit with playfulness.
I kind of like it.
That doesn't mean you're getting more sugar.
I'm fine with that.
Landon gave me a soft shove as he moved behind me.
Get your quotes and let's get out of here. I'm not joking about this being a lame festival. They don't have a kissing booth or a bonfire. I'm so disappointed. This town let me down.
You're so dramatic.
I learned it from the Winchesters, so what do you expect?
Landon happily followed me toward a group of teenagers. Even though I didn't want to drag this out, I knew he was right. If I didn't get the quotes, it would bug me. That's Nelson Lyons over there. I pointed toward the slim boy standing in the middle of five bubbling females. He'll give me a quote. I think he has a crush on me. Landon ran his thumb over his bottom lip as he studied the teenager in question. Are you sure? He looks like he has plenty of options in his own age group. Wait a second. Did you just call me old? Landon realized his mistake too late and averted his eyes from my accusatory gaze.
I think you're lovely and beautiful.
But old.
Oh, jeez, talking to a woman is like navigating a minefield. I should have kept my mouth shut. Now my pajama day will be ruined.
I took pity on him. You can still have your pajama day. The massage is off the table, though.
That's fine. I'll massage you. We'll get to the same ending no matter who's rubbing who. Wait, that came out a lot filthier than I expected.
Yeah, maybe you should lay off the sugar, I suggested. I'll talk to Nelson and get a quick quote. And he does have a crush on me. And you can wait here and think about how old I am. How does that sound?
You think you're punishing me, but all that's going to ensue is that someone shoves another cup of hot chocolate in my hand when you're not looking, Landon pointed out. I can't be left to my own devices. The women here love me, and I have no willpower when it comes to food.
He wasn't wrong. I'd seen him in action too many times to discount the possibility that every single woman in the immediate area would descend on him with chocolate goodies the second my back was turned. Fine, you can go with me. If you flirt with those girls, though, I'll make you pay.
Yes, because I often hit on teenagers.
I didn't say you'd hit on them, but the second they see you, they'll forget poor Nelson. If he cries, I'll have to hug him. Don't take it the wrong way if he tries to look down my shirt.
Landon guffawed loudly. Oh, we're such a fun couple. I don't know why we don't spend weekends doing things like this more often.
Because you would rather have pajama weekends?
Once it's just the two of us, we're going to turn it into naked weekends. Landon promised, brightening at the picture he was painting in his head. We'll take it one step at a time, though. I don't want to get you excited before we can actually enjoy the activity.
Yes, well, what was I going to do again? My cheeks flushed with color as Landon smirked.
You're going to interview that kid. Landon pointed at Nelson. Then you're going to make a wish so we can get out of here.
I studied the handsome planes of his face for a moment, my heart warming. I don't need to make a wish. I have everything I want.
Landon's expression softened as he lowered his forehead to mine.
Me too. He kissed the tip of my nose before pulling away.
Now hurry up. The longer you screw around, the longer we'll be kept away from the fireplace.
You're the one who keeps distracting me.
Yes, but it's cute when I do it. Go.
I pasted a bright smile on my face as I approached Nelson, hoping the normally shy boy wouldn't balk in answering questions. I had to pick my way through the gaggle of girls surrounding him, and I couldn't help but wonder why Nelson was suddenly so popular. That seemed to go against what I saw daily when he walked through the town alone. Hey, Nelson, can I get a quote from you for the newspaper? Nelson jerked up his head, his strawberry blonde hair flopping to the side as his face registered surprise.
Bay, I'm so happy to see you. Of course you can interview me for the newspaper.
You should take his photo, too. One of the girls, I was fairly certain her name was Hannah Freeman, giggled as she smiled adoringly at Nelson. If you put Nelson's face on the front page of the newspaper, you'll sell out every copy in, like, 5 minutes. Definitely.
One of the other girls agreed, bobbing her head.
I know I would buy 10 of them myself and put them in frames and kiss them before I go to sleep every night. I would rather kiss the real Nelson every night.
Hannah sighed wistfully.
Numerous times. I glanced over my shoulder and locked gazes with Landon, hoping he was as baffled as me. He looked more amused than annoyed, so I shook myself out of my reverie and focused on Nelson. I just need to know why you attended the Wishing Well dedication, I prodded.
Oh, sure.
Nelson flashed a benevolent smile as his gaze bounced between the members of his odd little harem.
Ladies, if you go over to the hot chocolate stand, I'll be happy to join you there in a few minutes.
Okay. The girls giggled in unison as they scampered in that direction, exchanging heated whispers as they made cooing sounds that made my stomach twist. They seem energetic, I offered. Unbelievably confused. Nelson was a ridiculously sweet kid, but I'd never thought of him as the sort of boy who would attract vapid female attention. Are you tutoring them? Landon slapped his head to his forehead and shook his head as realization washed over me. That was a mean and insulting thing to say. Perhaps I was channeling Aunt Tilly. I mean, are you, dating all of them? If Nelson was bothered by the question, he didn't show it.
I like to keep my options open.
Nelson's neck was so thin it almost looked transparent when he shifted under the bright sun.
I sometimes find that I'm in the mood for a blonde, other times a brunette. I like being forced to settle for one thing.
Nelson's reaction was beyond odd. I cast a furtive glance at Landon and found that he'd sobered, although only marginally. So, why did you come to the big unveiling?
I've always been a fan of town activities,
Nelson offered. I narrowed my eyes. Why, really?
My mom is running the hot chocolate stand.
Mira? Landon brightened. Lovely woman. Don't push me, I muttered, annoyed. So, Nelson, did you at least enjoy the unveiling?
Oh, I had a great time,
Nelson replied.
It was cold, but my girls kept me warm and filled me with hot chocolate. I have no complaints. It was much better than last night when I stopped by to polish the plaque. Mrs. Little conned my mother into volunteering my services, and I was here alone. I swear I kept thinking I heard something in the woods. It turns out I did hear something in the woods,
he continued.
Some of the other kids from my class were out here drinking, and everyone decided to start making wishes on the well because, well, it's Hemlock Cove, and there was nothing else to do on a November night.
I could see that. Oh, so you made the first wish last night?
I think it was actually the third or fourth wish. There were a few kids before me. Still, it was kind of fun, but this was better.
He cast a longing look in the direction of the girls, who seemed to sense his eyes on them, because they all started waving in giddy unison.
So much better.
I didn't know what to make of the situation. Okay, well, can you give me a clean quote for this week's edition?
Oh, right.
Nelson shook his head and turned his eyes to me.
I think the wishing well was a great idea, and I'm very thankful to Mrs. Little for making it happen. It's a great addition to the Hemlock Cove downtown area. Does that work?
That's perfect.
Great.
Nelson patted my arm before moving toward the girls.
You'll always have a special place in my heart, Bay. I really want you to know that.
I jutted out my lower lip as I watched him bounce toward his girlfriends, shifting my chin in Landon's direction, when I felt him move up beside me. That was weird, right? Landon shrugged.
I don't know. If I knew girls did that in high school, I would have totally taken advantage.
Yes, but why are the girls doing that?
Maybe he paid them?
I made a disgusted face and flicked the red ridge of Landon's ear, causing him to grumble as he jerked away from me.
Hey, it's cold out. Are you trying to break my ear?
Whatever, I muttered. Nelson is a good kid and he has real friends. I've seen him with them.
What I haven't seen is that.
I gestured toward the girls as one of them threw her arms around Nelson's neck and pressed her ample breasts to his chest. Seriously, what is going on? Landon snorted, my discomfort clearly entertaining him.
Maybe geeks are in. You can never tell what a girl will like from day to day. I'm thankful you even remember my name when we wake up each morning.
Oh, please, I rolled my eyes, shifting my attention to a group of women on the other side of the well. There had to be at least eight of them, all grouped around Mrs. Little, as she told some story that looked to be as boring as her speech. And what's up with that? That can't be normal either, right? Landon followed my gaze, his face blank.
Yeah, that's definitely weird. I can't think anyone would put up with that woman without being paid.
She looks popular. It took me a moment to find the proper word, and when I did, it seemed alien in reference to Mrs. Little.
The same with your boyfriend Nelson,
Landon added.
I especially liked how he told you that you'd always have a special place in his heart.
Yeah, that did make me feel old.
Aw, poor sweetie.
Landon slung an arm over my shoulders.
Do you have enough, or do we need to find another person to quote?
I'm good. Nelson gave me more than I needed. Wait, that came out wrong.
Landon snickered. Don't worry about it. I think he's getting his own load of dirty suggestions from his friends.
I cringed when one of the girls stuck her tongue in Nelson's ear. Okay, yeah, we're done.
I'll let you do that to me if we go home right now.
You still have to massage me.
I figure we can find a way to do both.
Deal. Clove is putting together her list for Santa, which is a crock because he's not real. She says she wants new shoes, a new computer, and world peace. I think she just threw in that world peace crap because she's a suck-up. I wish people weren't allowed to suck up, because then I would totally be normal. Thistle Winchester, age 13, explaining why Clove isn't downstairs helping with chores.
6.
This wasn't what I had in mind when I pictured us spending the day together. Landon, my feet propped in his lap so he could rub them, reclined on the couch in the Overlook's library and gave me a dirty look as I tapped my article into my laptop.
This wasn't what I had in mind when I pictured us spending the day together.
You said you wanted me to finish this so we could focus on each other, I reminded him.
Yeah, but I thought that focus would be somehow dirtier.
I can stand in mud and make my feet dirtier, if that helps.
Landon scowled. You're being a pain today. I think it's because your boyfriend dissed you.
Whose boyfriend dissed who? Thistle asked, wandering into the library with Marcus. By the way, Aunt Tilly is totally up to something. I just caught her coming out of her greenhouse with a bag of supplies. When I asked her what she was doing, she told me to mind my own business, or she would make me smell like deer urine.
And since it's hunting season, that means Thistle would be very popular in the woods, Marcus added. Well, that's a lovely visual.
Landon dug his thumbs into the sore soles of my feet.
How big was the bag?
Not very big, Thistle replied. Purse size, maybe. She seemed annoyed when she realized we'd caught her, and then denied we actually saw her. She told us we were hallucinating.
See, that right there makes me very nervous, Landon said, shaking his head. She's generally proud to own up to the crap she does. She's hiding it now, so it must be really bad.
She's hidden things before, I offered, hitting the spell check button on my laptop and watching it scroll through. When we were kids, she hid the fact that she cursed the property line to make people think they were animals. Anyone who crossed onto our property thought they were a barn animal. Yes, I especially liked it when Chief Terry started clucking like a chicken, Thistle drawled. Although he often sounds like a chicken to me, so... You take that back, I threatened, wagging a finger. Chief Terry has been good to us. He's been good to you, Thistle corrected. You're his favorite. I'm everybody's favorite. That's what happens when you're not purposely mean to people.
You're not Nelson's favorite anymore, Landon reminded me. He'll always have a soft spot for you, though, so at least you have that to live for.
I scowled as I wrinkled my nose, hitting the send button on my email, to shoot the article to the page designer before closing my laptop and placing it on the coffee table. You just won't shut up about that, will you?
Landon shrugged, his eyes lit with amusement. I simply thought it was funny. You said he had a crush on you, but he was clearly more interested in his harem.
Harem? Thistle plopped her feet on the table and smiled in thanks when Marcus handed her a mixed drink from the bar cart.
Who are we talking about again?
Nelson Lyons, I replied. I needed a color quote for my piece, and he was at the wishing well ceremony. He had so many girls hanging on him, I thought he would be lost in a sea of fake blonde hair and bosoms.
Oh, that was poetic, sweetie.
Landon chuckled as he continued rubbing my feet.
Bay thought it was odd, but I figured he must be doing their homework or something.
Nelson Lyons? Thistle tilted her head to the side, considering...
He's the blonde kid with the glasses and unfortunate chicken neck, right?
I nodded. He's a sweet boy, though. If he grows into that neck, he'll probably be handsome.
He came into the store about 6 months ago, Thistle supplied. He wanted me to make him a love potion so the girls would go wild.
My stomach involuntarily twisted. You didn't do that, did you?
Thistle made an exaggerated, well-duh face. Of course I didn't. I know how dangerous love potions are. They always backfire, because you can't force someone to feel what they don't naturally feel. But can you do it? Landon appeared interested. I mean, can you make a potion that will mimic feelings of love?
In theory, yes, Thistle replied. We can make a potion that will convince someone they love another person, even if they don't. The potion generally works for a good 24 hours, and then
it starts to backfire.
Is that because the magic breaks down? Marcus asked.
I shook my head. It's because the human heart is stronger than most people are willing to believe. People who want to use love potions don't care what the other person really wants. They only care about what they want. Eventually, the cursed person's heart almost always manages to fight off the spell.
And when that happens, whoa, baby!
Thistle adopted an exaggerated tone.
The person you cast the spell on is not only aware of what happened during the time they were under the spell, they're also aware of who caused them to act like that.
Really?
Landon pressed his thumb into the soft pad of my foot as he lifted it.
Did you ever cast a love spell on anyone?
Are you asking me? My voice went unnaturally shrill, and I internally cursed myself for being such a poor liar.
You did, didn't you?
Landon looked amused.
Who was it? Some guy you had a crush on in high school?
No, I vehemently shook my head. I definitely knew better by the time I was in high school.
So, who was it?
Oh, just tell him, Thistle prodded. You were hardly alone when it happened. We were all idiots that day.
Oh, I'm practically salivating,
Landon teased, releasing my foot and leaning forward so he could capture me around the waist and tug me to him. I tried to wriggle away, but it was fruitless.
Go on, Thistle. I'm dying to hear the story.
There's not much to tell, Thistle explained. It happened when we were in middle school. We liked to go through the spell book when we were kids. We found the love spell. Bay liked Frankie Weimer at the time. I remember because I made a ton of Weimer's a wiener jokes, and Bay was spitting mad by the time I finished.
Nice.
Landon and Marcus exchanged a look, amused.
I had a crush on Ben Stark, and Clove liked a boy too. Thistle continued. I don't remember who she cast the spell on. She liked a different boy every week, and it became impossible to keep up. Anyway, we found the spell and we cast it, she continued. At first, it was great. The boys wanted to sit next to us at lunch. They even gave us their pudding cups so we could double the dessert.
Oh, true love.
Landon was far too enamored with the story. He was beginning to make me feel uncomfortable.
We didn't know what we were doing, Thistle explained, sobering. They turned on us fast. There was some hair pulling, and they got kicked in the ribs. We had to hide in a closet until our mother showed up at the school. And boy, were they angry.
All traces of Landon's smile vanished.
You got kicked?
I pressed my lips together and nodded.
Well, while you probably shouldn't have cast a spell, I kind of blame your mothers for this one,
Landon said.
They left the book out. Of course you guys would have been curious.
I immediately started shaking my head. They warned us.
Repeatedly, Thistle added. They told us never to cast love spells, and we didn't listen. We were lucky to get off as lightly as we did. When you're older, the spells backfire much harder.
Okay, well...
Landon rubbed the back of my head as he considered the story.
That's just freaky. Do you think this Nelson kid cast a spell on those girls?
I told him love potions don't exist in the real world,
Thistle replied.
I told him that eventually things will get better, and that he just has to wait for it to happen.
That sounds logical.
Landon shifted his eyes to me.
Do you want me to hunt this Frankie kid down and kick him in the ribs?
I mustered a wan smile and shook my head. I got what I deserved. You don't try to manipulate the heart.
I guess not.
Landon snuggled closer and heaved a sigh.
So if Nelson didn't cast a love potion, what's going on? Even though I was having a good time messing with Bay while we were down there, I can't deny there was something off about that situation.
I don't know, Thistle said, scratching her cheek. I guess we'll have to watch and see what happens. If he did find someone to cast a love potion for him, it'll backfire quickly. We should know by tomorrow.
Except he has 5 people in his harem, I pointed out. That could be 5 people kicking him in the ribs.
But you don't know it's a spell, Thistle pointed out. It could be something else entirely. For all we know, he pulled a Can't Buy Me Love and paid all those girls to pretend they're his girlfriends.
What's Can't Buy Me Love? Landon asked.
It's a bad 80s movie with Patrick Dempsey, I replied. We were obsessed with it when we were kids, because we loved the big hair.
And Patrick Dempsey, Thistle added. I still love him.
Yes, the 80s were a lovely decade, Landon deadpanned. As for Nelson, until we know differently, I don't see why there's any reason to get worked up. If the girls go in the attack, I'm sure we'll hear about it.
I hope you're right. I rested my head on his shoulder, content to let him share his warmth with me. The silence was amiable for a long time before Clove shoved open the door of the inn and barreled toward the library.
Have you seen what's going on out there? I think you need to see it for yourself.
She grabbed my arm and jerked me to a standing position. I groaned, vociferously lodging my protest. It's cold, and I don't want to go outside.
You have to see what's going on in the parking lot, Clove pressed, her eyes serious. I left Sam out there to act as lookout in case, well, in case someone's bits turn to ice and break off.
I perked up. Bits? Are there naked people outside?
It's freaking cold out, Thistle pointed out, although she was already on her feet. If I'm going outside, I want to know exactly what I'm going to see. If it's nudity, I'm in. If it's simulated nudity, I'm out.
What's simulated nudity? Landon asked, tilting his head to the side.
Think Skinamax versus hardcore porn, Thistle suggested.
Landon furrowed his brow.
Ah, I get it now. Yeah, I'm only going outside if it's real nudity, too.
This family is full of pigs, I muttered.
Oink, oink.
Landon poked my side as he grabbed our coats from the chair where we had discarded them upon entry.
Put this on. I know you're going to see naked people, and that's bound to be distracting, and possibly hot. But I don't want you to catch a cold. It'll ruin the rest of our weekend.
You're awfully jovial for a guy who might have to write public indecency tickets, I said, tugging on my gloves. Why are you so excited to see other people when they're naked?
There's nothing that's not made better by nudity, sweetie.
Landon pressed his hand to the small of my back and urged me toward the door.
Pick up the pace. You're not moving fast enough.
I'd be a little worried about how excited he is to see another woman naked, Thistle called out.
Well, I'm not. In truth, I was a little worried. I knew it was probably nothing, but Landon had been acting mischievous all day. The five of us hurried out the door, halting when we hit the front porch, and crowding together as we witnessed two naked figures grappling with one another in the back seat of a parked sedan.
Holy! Landon's eyes widened as the car rocked back and forth. What the heck is going on?
The windows are all foggy, but I'm pretty sure it's that couple who checked in last night, Thistle said, squinting as she leaned forward. The Learys, right?
I bobbed my head as all the faces that matched the name popped into my memory. Yes, they were very excited about the unveiling of the wishing well today. I saw them at the ceremony.
Were they having sex in public? Thistle asked dryly.
I shook my head. They were drinking hot chocolate and counting coins to throw into the well.
What are we supposed to do? Thistle asked, wrinkling her nose. I don't think it's safe for them to be having sex outside. The temperature is supposed to drop into the teens tonight.
They should be done long before then, Landon offered, grinning. Seriously, they're going to kill the shocks on that car.
Stop staring, I put my hand over his eyes, but he impatiently shoved it away.
Hey, if they want to have sex in public, you can't stop me from watching, Landon argued. They made a choice to do it, and I'm making a choice to watch it.
You're seriously out of control today, I muttered, shaking my head as I moved next to Thistle.
We can't let them do this. They're going to throw out a hip or something. I'm pretty sure the Learys are in their 70s, right?
Thistle nodded, her eyes trained on the car.
You can't unsee something like this. And yet, I can't look away.
What's wrong with me?
You're a pervert, just like Landon, I replied without hesitation. I don't care how uncomfortable this is. We need to do something before our mothers come out here. They will totally freak out.
I think we should call Aunt Tilly, Thistle suggested.
What? Why?
Because older people and their naked bits fall under her area of expertise, Thistle replied. I can't deal with these people. It's funny to watch them and all, but ugh. That dude is going to have an imprint of that dome light etched into his butt if he keeps banging that bony thing against the roof like that.
Okay, we have to do something. I was starting to get desperate, but I was determined to make sure this was someone else's problem.
We are doing something, Bay,
Landon said, patting my arm.
We're watching. Someone should start timing this little interlude because it's been going on for a while now, and he doesn't appear to be losing steam.
You're a complete and total sex fiend, I hissed, my temper flaring. I didn't get the chance to finish my sentence because my attention was drawn to the sky,
as a shadow passed across the moon. There was no mistaking what I saw this time. It was clearly a man flying over the field behind the house. He wasn't wearing a cape or anything, because that would simply be ridiculous. But he was wearing a hoodie.
Oh, well, there's something you don't see every day. Thistle intoned, dragging her attention from the sex freaks in the car to the man floating in the sky.
What the... Okay, Landon said, bobbing his head. This time I see it. I believe you.
I told you!
This day just kept getting weirder.
I wish up was down, because life is a lot more fun when your shirt is over your head and your boobs are on display. There's nothing that's not funny when you let your boobs out to play.
Twyla Winchester, age 20, when explaining why she didn't want to get a job. 7.
Is that...
Clove's mouth dropped open as she tipped her dark head to the side.
All he's missing is a cape, Thistle noted. Why do you think he's wearing a hoodie?
That's your question? Landon was incredulous. Why aren't you more worried about the fact that he's flying? Forget the freaking hoodie.
Maybe that's a superhero costume, I suggested, ignoring Landon's outburst. Maybe he's hipster man, able to leap tall buildings with fits of melancholy.
Despite the serious nature of the situation, Landon let loose a loud belly laugh.
At least your sense of humor is still intact. That doesn't change the fact that we have a situation. How are we supposed to explain the guy flying over the property?
I shrugged. Maybe it's a group dream.
Okay, Bay, I know I doubted you, but let's not turn on each other.
Landon rolled his eyes until they landed on the car. The rocking had stopped, and the two inhabitants appeared to be pulling on clothing.
Well, at least this nightmare is over.
The words were barely out of his mouth when the sedan's door opened and Mrs. Leary tumbled out. Her face was flushed with more than chilly color, and she giggled when she realized we were staring at her.
Oh, well, hi.
Hi, Thistle intoned, widening her eyes. How was your afternoon?
It's splendid. Thank you for asking.
I had no idea how she managed to maintain her manners, given the fact that 6 people were staring at her and her blouse was on backward. But she didn't appear to be bothered in the least.
So, do you do this often?
I wasn't sure why I asked the question, but I was desperate to keep the conversation moving rather than fall into a pit of uncomfortable silence.
Not really.
Mrs. Leary smoothed her hair.
I think it must be the weather or something. We were at the new wishing well, and I made a wish that things would be like they used to when we were younger. I told Stan about the wish, and bing, bang, boom, things were suddenly like they used to be.
We saw the bang and the boom, Landon offered dryly. I'm pretty sure we saw the bing, too, Sam added. I know I did. I was out here waiting for you guys by myself for what felt like a really long time.
Oh, well, we're not modest.
Mrs. Leary flashed a smile as her husband joined her on the pavement.
Are you ready to go in for some appetizers?
Most definitely.
Mr. Leary's smile was smug.
Then I was thinking we could take a nice walk after dinner, maybe check out that greenhouse. How does that sound?
Oh, it sounds divine.
Mrs. Leary's voice took on a breathy quality that made my skin itch.
Don't go in that greenhouse, Thistle warned. That's Aunt Tilly's private spot. If she catches you in there...
What? She'll want to join in?
That sounded more horrifying than the things Aunt Tilly really would do to the rambunctious couple. Let's just say you won't like it and leave it at that, I replied. Maybe you could try doing it in your room. I'm just spitballing here, but that might be fun too.
That doesn't sound fun at all,
Mrs. Leary said, her mouth tipping down at the corners.
But it's a big inn. I'm sure we'll find a private place to bond.
Yes, well, I pressed my eyes shut as I watched them go, my stomach tumbling. I'm gonna have nightmares.
I think it's kind of sweet, Landon countered. That's how I see us in 40 years.
I slid a sidelong look in his direction. You think we'll be doing it in a car in the middle of a parking lot?
Sweetie, a man can dream whatever he wants to dream.
Landon poked my side before turning his full attention to the field at the back of the house.
What are we going to do about hipster man? I was considering going out there and trying to talk to him, but it's cold and I don't really want to yell. Plus, no one wants to be the schmuck talking to a flying hipster, Thistle offered. Maybe you should call Chief Terry. We can turn this into his problem.
Chief Terry doesn't want to deal with a flying man, I pointed out. He likes to pretend that he doesn't know about our magic. Plus, well, he'll blame us for this. You know I don't like it when he yells.
That's because you're a baby, Thistle chided. I'll call him. How hard can it be? It's not as if we caused this.
That we know of, Landon interjected. There are four witches unaccounted for. We know none of you cast this spell. We don't know the people inside didn't do it.
He had a point. Still, no, this has to be something else. I don't think any of us did it. I think it's the wishing well. Landon arched a dubious eyebrow.
The wishing well. How do you figure that?
I shrugged. You heard Mrs. Leary. She tossed a coin in the wishing well because she wanted to go back in time. Suddenly she's having sex in a car and looking to jump her husband in the greenhouse. That can't be a coincidence.
Unless it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, Landon countered. Maybe she wished it and then made it happen. Women are wily that way.
Women are wily that way? I was fairly certain that was an insult. You can't possibly blame Mrs. Leary for this. Mr. Leary is the one who had to, you know, rise to the occasion. Why isn't it his fault?
Because everyone knows that men are merely pawns when it comes to women and their whims, Landon replied, unruffled. Women make us do bad things. It's a fact that I just made up.
I slapped his arm and shook my head. We'll talk about this later. We need to focus on the guy flying over the property right now. How do you suggest we get him down?
Landon could shoot him, Thistle suggested, pressing a button on her phone and shoving it in my direction. Here, you talk to him.
Who am I talking to? Suddenly, I managed to lose track of the conversation.
Chief Terry.
I balked.
Why do I have to talk to Chief Terry?
Because you're his favorite and he never yells at you.
Thistle's smile was impish when she locked gazes with Landon.
Where did we land on you shooting him out of the air?
I'm not doing that, Landon barked, annoyed. That's murder.
I think you're afraid that he really is a superhero and the bullet will bounce off of him and he'll come after you, Thistle challenged.
I can't even talk to you when you say things like that.
Landon made a disgusted sound in the back of his throat as he planted his hands on his hips.
I knew we should have gone to bed for the entire afternoon.
This still would be happening even if we went to bed, I pointed out, my heart rolling as I waited for Chief Terry to pick up the other end of the call.
Yes, but we wouldn't know about it because we'd be in bed.
Hello?
Chief Terry sounded frustrated when he answered the phone. I swallowed hard to center myself before speaking. It's Bay.
Hey, sweetheart, I can't really talk right now. We have a thing going on downtown.
Well, we kind of have a thing going on here, too, I said. We have a guy flying over the property, and he's not using a plane. Chief Terry was either so distracted he didn't comprehend my words, or so scattered he didn't care.
Yeah, well, I have a group of high schoolers trying to string up Nelson Lyons and burn him at the stake because they claim he's a witch. I'm pretty sure my thing is bigger than your thing.
He had a point. Landon and I will be there in 10 minutes. Where are you? I told you this was wonky, but you didn't listen to me, I complained, scuffing my shoes against the pavement as Landon and I walked toward the diner a few minutes later. You made jokes and thought it was funny that I would always have a special spot in his heart. Now look what happened.
Calm down, Bay, Landon urged, his voice tinged with weariness.
The earlier delight of watching Hipster Man fly over the property dissipated pretty quickly once we hit his explorer.
I'm sure there's a rational explanation for all of this.
You think there's a rational explanation for that? I pointed at the stack of kindling and branches in the middle of the town square. Somebody was clearly readying for a bonfire. Chief Terry said the other kids were trying to burn Nelson at the stake.
Does that mean they think he's a witch?
I shrugged. I can't see another reason to do it. I told you this would happen.
You're full of the I told you so's tonight, Landon grumbled. It's not a very attractive quality.
Says the guy who could spend an entire week waxing poetic about bacon and how it changed his life, I grumbled.
That's a true story.
Whatever. I jerked open the diner door, widening my eyes when I saw the melee inside.
Chief Terry stood in the center of a rowdy bunch of high school students, his arms stretched out to maintain an open spot for himself. Not all the students were female, as I'd expected.
"What's going on?"
I had to yell to be heard through the din.
"Apparently, the senior class believes Nelson is a witch,"
Chief Terry replied, keeping his arm around Nelson's neck as he shoved back one of the overzealous male students.
"They want to rid Hemlock Cove of the scourge that is rampant teenage hormones. I'm considering letting them do it."
Nelson looked pathetic, cowering next to Chief Terry.
"Shut your trap,"
Chief Terry snapped, shaking his head.
"I'm sure you're at the center of this. I haven't figured out how yet, but I'll get there."
"We need to clear these kids out," Landon suggested, cringing when one of the girls grabbed Chief Terry's arm and tried to bite him. "The more they feed off each other, the more out of control the situation gets."
"Oh, thanks,"
Chief Terry drawled.
"I couldn't have figured that out without you."
"Stow the sarcasm," I ordered, moving toward the center of the room. "We need to approach this rationally."
"Be careful, Bay," Landon admonished, shooting a warning look at one of the male students when he moved to intercept me. "If you touch her, I'll pound your face in, kid."
"She's a witch, too,"
the boy shot back.
"She probably gave Nelson his powers."
"I don't have any powers,"
Nelson whimpered, tears filling his eyes.
"I don't know what they're talking about. I'm innocent."
"I don't believe you,"
Chief Terry challenged.
His mood was worse than Landon's when he realized that the inn wasn't serving bacon for breakfast on a weekend day. "Okay, we need to clear these kids out before the mob mentality gets even worse and we're overrun," I said, climbing on top of the table and letting loose with a sharp whistle to get everyone's attention. "We're done here! You guys need to go home!" The teenagers stared at me for a moment, seemingly confused.
The next thing I knew, they returned to their fight, at least five of them reaching for Nelson at the same time to wrench him from Chief Terry's grip.
"Okay, that won't work," I muttered.
"It was a nice try, sweetie," Landon said, gesturing with his hands, so I moved closer to him. "Now get off the table. I don't like you so exposed in the middle of a mob."
"I'm not done."
"Oh, you're done. Hey!" Landon barreled to his right, grabbing one of the girls when she purposely swiped at my foot in an effort to tumble me off the table. "I'll punch you, too. Don't even think about attacking her."
"You can't punch me,"
the girl shot back.
"I'm a minor."
"I don't care. I'll punch you and throw you in jail. I'll enjoy it, too."
"Hey!"
I bellowed loud enough to garner everyone's attention, the diner falling into an eerie calm as I raised my hands.
"Did you guys know that they're giving away free donuts and hot chocolate at the high school right now? Yeah, if you leave at this exact second, they'll probably have plenty for all of you."
"That's not going to work," Landon whined.
To my surprise and utter delight, the kids exchanged low whispers before shuffling toward the door. One of the boys, I think it was Sean Gusterson, extended a warning finger and poked it into Nelson's chest.
"This isn't over. It's over,"
Chief Terry growled, keeping Nelson under his arm until the last student left the diner. The second they were gone, Landon ran to the door and flipped the lock. I had no idea where the waitresses went, but I had a feeling they were hiding in the back.
"Okay, that worked," Landon conceded, shaking his head. "It shouldn't have worked, but it did."
"That will teach you to doubt me."
"Oh, let it go, Bay. I didn't believe you saw a flying man. I thought you dreamed it. Sue me."
"I'll make you pay later. You don't have to worry about that." I turned my attention to Nelson. "Do you want to tell us what's going on?"
"I don't know what's going on,"
Nelson replied, smoothing his rumpled and ripped shirt as he regained his senses.
"I came in for a burger and fries, and the next thing I knew, the other kids were jumping on me and accusing me of being a witch."
"I can vouch for that,"
Chief Terry offered.
"I was sitting at the counter having a slice of pie when things completely blew up out of nowhere. I have no idea how it happened."
"But you blamed me,"
Nelson sniffed, crossing his arms over his scrawny chest. Chief Terry remained calm and unmoved.
"That's because you're the central figure in all of the hate. You had to have something to do with it."
"I did not."
"You most certainly did."
"I did not."
"Okay, this is getting us nowhere." I rubbed my forehead and sank into one of the open chairs at the table to my right. Believe it or not, this isn't the weirdest thing we've seen today.
She's not exaggerating, Landon volunteered.
We've seen a lot of weird things.
I think they all have to be connected, I added.
But how?
Chief Terry challenged.
How can what happened here tonight be explained?
That was a very good question.
Make a wish, Clove. If you're going to wish for a better family, pick something else. I've wished for that every year, and all I get is more time with Aunt Tilly. Trust me, you don't want that.
Thistle, urging Clove to blow out the candles on her birthday cake. 8. Nelson, you must have done something. I kept my voice even, void of recrimination, and hoped I looked friendly rather than accusatory when I locked gazes with the shaken teenager. Think hard. What did they say to you before they attacked?
They said I was a witch and they were going to make me burn.
Nelson was matter of fact.
I'm not a witch. Do you see a wart on my nose?
That's extremely stereotypical, I chided, earning a stern look from Landon. He was right. Focusing on that right now probably wasn't my best option. They must have said something before that. And you shouldn't judge people just because you don't understand the true meaning behind a word.
That'll be enough of that,
Chief Terry warned, grabbing the chair next to me and turning it around so he could straddle it.
We need to figure this out, because it's hardly the weirdest story I've heard all day. Did you see a dude in a hoodie fly?
Landon challenged.
How about two senior citizens having extremely vigorous car sex?
Yeah, we've got you beat.
Chief Terry leveled his eyes on me.
Do I even want to know?
He's prone to dramatic meltdowns at times, I replied. He's handsome, so I ignore it.
Ha ha, Landon flicked my ear. I'll have you know that I wasn't dramatic in the least before I started spending time with your family. Then, one night in a cornfield, I saw a bunch of women in matching tracksuits, and my life was forever changed.
I couldn't help being offended. I was not wearing a tracksuit.
I was shot and everything, Landon added.
In your memory of that night, was I wearing a tracksuit? That's so disappointing. Maybe I should upgrade my wardrobe.
Landon smirked as he pinched the bridge of his nose. I don't know why people think I'm dramatic. You're clearly making me a more balanced and sane individual.
I hate spending time with you guys when you're in this kind of mood,
Chief Terry complained.
It's like I'm bearing witness to your verbal foreplay. It makes me feel filthy and dirty.
Me too. Landon winked before turning serious. We've seen a few odd things today. What have you seen?
Well, for starters, Marvin Hyland started his day by giving $100 to everyone he saw on the street,
Chief Terry offered.
I thought he'd flipped his lid, or was still drunk from last night, because you know how he is. But it turns out he came into some money and wants to literally spread the wealth. Danielle Simmons has locked herself in her house, and the neighbors swear up and down that some movie star is locked in there with her.
He continued.
Apparently they've been, spending quality time together. I knocked on the door, but no one answered. And I honestly doubt that a Hollywood star is locked in a house in Hemlock Cove.
What movie star? I asked.
I don't know. That guy from Star Trek.
I brightened considerably. She has William Shatner locked in her house? We totally need to stop there before heading back to the inn.
Not that guy.
Chief Terry made a face.
It was one of the guys from the new Star Trek.
Oh, that was mildly disappointing. I still might want to stop by, although I'm nowhere near as excited as I was a few seconds ago.
Do the thing with your hands again.
Landon prodded.
You know what that does to me.
Don't do anything gross.
Chief Terry ordered, shaking his head.
This entire town is falling apart. The last thing I need is you guys adding to the mayhem.
I pressed the heel of my hand to my forehead as I considered our options. The only lead we had was standing next to the table picking his nose when he thought no one was looking. Nelson, I need you to run me through your last 24 hours, I instructed, narrowing my eyes when I saw him stare the booger on the end of his index finger. If you eat that, I'll kick you in the nuts.
I wasn't going to eat it.
Nelson was mortified to be nearly caught in the act.
Why would you think that?
You just looked hungry.
Gross.
Nelson made an exaggerated face. Nelson, Seriously, what have you done that's out of your normal schedule over the past 24 hours? I prodded. There has to be something.
There's nothing,
Nelson snapped.
Other than that party in the woods.